I think sometimes we fish our prayers when we don't get an instant bite, an instant response. Then we failed, and why bother? Do you fish prayers? I fish prayers. I fish prayers all the time. Sometimes I don't even get to the end of praying and I'm already thinking, why bother? At times. And if I was being ultra transparent and a bit vulnerable, I've been kicked in the pants about Antonio this week and last. I spent a week with his granddad a few weeks ago. And he shared some things that haven't been on social media, and I just thought when I came home, why bother praying? Like, knowing what I know from him, it's really bad. You know, so why bother? And then in the midst of my why bother, God's working in the waiting, right? God's working. Doesn't need my why bother prayers. God's already answering the prayers of the faithful. I need to be that faithful one more often. Is there something that you could pray for someone else that you would want them to experience a fullness of who God is for you, for them? Is there a prayer that you'd want them to pray that they'd appreciate all of God's goodness for them, that they would draw close to Him, that they would be impacted by the transforming power of Jesus? Is that a prayer that you ever pray? Or do you, like me, often think, why bother? God doesn't ask us to be part of the answer. He asks us to bring the question. God is the answer to our every need. Did we not used to sing? Christ is the answer. This morning I've got a little contraption. I caused a great amount of anarchy almost. No, not quite. I brought in some things this morning that I wanted to just chat through before we continued in the service. And I needed something to put it on, and I realised now that I'm pushing it across that there's holes in the edges, so I can't go too crazy. Have you ever prayed for, within your own life, that God would allow you to live in the overflow? And you have a small cup, and in that small cup, we allow God to drop His goodness into our lives and then expect to live in the overflow. Because we might read His word once, we might read His word twice, we might spend time with Him once or twice. We might spend time with others in fellowship, and that may fill us up. But then we get super careful because we don't want to get too full, right? We don't want it to get too full, because if it gets too full, then God's goodness might fall out and it might end up with less, right? Because storms come our way and people say horrible things to us. And we doubt ourselves, and we don't want that. So we don't allow God's goodness to be that full, because we just allow it to get to a safe level so that when the storms come, we can control what's on the inside. We can, when the words come, we can control what's on the inside. When there's big storms, we can still control what's on the inside. We only let God get to a safe level. You see, sometimes we have a receptacle like this. And this is my good drinking water today, but we have a receptacle like this. And the world around us crushes us. And it goes everywhere and creates a mess. And there's water on the carpet. And that's okay. But it creates a mess. We would not want there to be that much water inside of us. We would not want that much of God to be in there. We want to be able to control it. maybe the world around us has crushed us like this. Maybe, just maybe, we need Him to come and mold us and reshape us into who He wants us to be. The dents might still be there. There'll still be evidence of the world around us. But when we're praying for the fullness of God in our lives, are we wanting fullness to a safe level? Or are we wanting to say, God, I don't care how big a cup I get. You just turn up. I want to live in the overflow. I want the people around me to get wet. I want people around me to experience God. When I get hit, when I get in a storm of life, I want others to get wet because of the goodness that I have in you, right? Who's ever been to a town pool the theme parks, and the kids get in the water and then the first thing they want to do, I do not know why, but the first thing, give us a hug, Dad. I'm not wet, right? The kids think it's hilarious. When we are dripping with God's goodness in our lives, why wouldn't we want to brush up against somebody else so that they get wet too? That's what Paul is praying to Philemon for this morning. I love the fact that you are so dripping wet with God's goodness that you are feeding the saints. You are encouraging the hearts of the saints. I want that more for you, he says. Is that the prayer that we pray for ourselves? Is that a prayer that we pray for ourselves? Do we stop praying because we don't get the bite? Do we stop praying because we don't get the bite? It doesn't work out the same way. How come He answers their prayers and not my prayers? This isn't fair. My prayer for us each is that we would be so dripping wet. You know, when you get caught out in the storm and you are drenched from head to toe, no matter what you touch, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be, you're wet. I want everyone to be that wet with God's goodness that when people even just brush past you, they're like, oh, what was that? I now have God's goodness on me, right? That's how dripping wet my prayer is for each of us. Why do you think Paul prayed such a prayer for his friend? Why do you think he prayed such a prayer? So that he would have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Have you ever been inside a big cathedral? I spent some time this week. One of my favorite things to do of all time is to go and look at church architecture. It doesn't excite everybody, but it excites me. This week on Monday, I had 2 hours of my own time, and I didn't have to ask permission of two children, 13 and 12, whether I was allowed to go and do this because they weren't there. So I just went and stood in the middle of St. Patrick's Cathedral in Melbourne. And then there was a little church across the road, St. Paul's. I stood inside both of them and sang. There's a Catholic employee of some description that was there. I said, I like to sing. Are you okay if I sing? Yeah, that'd be great. I'm standing inside this cathedral. It could have been 50 of us, it sounded like. On your own, singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Have you ever been inside one of those dark caves? It's the resonance. It sounds like there's 50, but there's only one. Sometimes when we cry out to God in the midst of our darkest, most alone moments, Lord, save me. Hosanna, Lord, save us. There's way more people that sing, it sounds like it's a much louder prayer in that resonant space. I'm a bit of a music nerd. I like to know different notes. If you were to, if you go to Steve and Joe Freeman's place, there's a pump near their house and it plays the notes F and E. Nobody wants to know that except I needed to know what notes that it was. I go and stand in, I just love feeling the resonance. I go and stand in stairways, you know, the fire escapes, and I'll go stand in the corner and find the note that makes the room resonate. I just want to be able to feel it. Sometimes I think my prayers, I need to be able to feel that God has heard me. Sometimes I'm splashing water every which way and I'm not getting wet at all because I'm trying to wet everybody else instead of just grabbing the cup. And because this is way more expensive than I care to pay for, the analogy is to tip the cup over your head. I'm always trying to make everyone else better instead of taking the living water and allowing myself to get wet too with my prayers. Why don't we share our faith? Well, there's an element of feeling rejected. There's an element of, I don't want other people to, I'd hate for people to get wet. I'm wet. I don't want anyone else to get wet. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Scripture doesn't say, stay inside the building and wait till you're dry before you go out. It says, no, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go into homes and hide. Doesn't say that at all. It says, go out. Have you ever been scared of the dark? Ever been wondering about the unknown of what happens in the darkness? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Take him with us and he will light those dark places. In Matthew chapter 5, it talks to us about being salt and light. We're not meant to be just a flavor enhancer, but a preserver of the kingdom of God here on earth. That's what we're called to be, is a preserver of the kingdom of heaven. Eugene Peterson talks about us being God flavors, bringing out the God flavors and the God colors in this world. I love that. I think sometimes we don't share our faith because we don't feel qualified. God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. We are all called to his service. Do we have to have all the answers? No, but we need to know who does, and that is Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, Peter was very direct. He says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Can you share your story? Your story, not a story that you've heard from somebody else because you know someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows Jesus. But what's your story about knowing him? What's the thing that's impacted you when you got touched by the living water? Maybe you could live a life others want to live like. Have you ever heard people say, I want to be just like them when I grow up? The crazy thing is, George Barna, who crafted a study, suggested that there are 5 young people who look up and want to be just like us when they grow up. You do not want 5 of me. Nope, you do not. Right? That's really challenging for me. That there are 5 people that want to be just like me. So what am I doing to leave a legacy that means that people get wet? with the love of Jesus. Maybe we stand there and say, I can't share my faith because why? I'm too dinted. I'm not good enough. The expectations of those around me tell me that I don't count anymore. How many of us have gone to the shops and seen a dinted can and gone, no, I'll get the one that's not dinted. Same food on the inside, right? But we leave the dinted one there because that's not okay. We come to Jesus and we think we've got to have all of our dints taken out before we come to the cross. That's where you get the dints taken out. You get the dints taken out at the foot of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus and His grace. Don't wait for the dints to be taken out. It's like trying to get your car perfect without going to the panel beater. That sounds dumb, but we do it. I do it, right? I absolutely do it. I'll just wait for this dint to go before I go to Jesus. This is my disqualifying dint. There's smirks around the room. Hopefully that means that I'm not on my own in that one, right? I think sometimes when we share our faith, we are the ones that plant the seed that somebody needs. We plant the seed of hope that someone may need. We may be the missing link in the puzzle so that they get the picture of Jesus. They get the picture of a transforming power, a changed life. They may not need a seed of hope from someone else. They may need it from you. We have a part to play in the divine story of God. Just think about that for a second. You and I join with the creator of the universe in the divine story of God. Does that make anyone else just stop in their tracks for a moment? That our interactions with the Creator are part of the great story of God in this world. Maybe we're part is to plant the seed. Maybe when we tell our story, it's about watering it for somebody else. Our faith grows just as their faith grows. When we pray the prayer that Paul prayed, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. We are reminded of who we are and whose we are. When we remember whose we are, we realize that we are of value and of worth. And the attitudes of those around us don't count for as much because we know in who we believe. So the challenge this morning is to share our faith, to live lives that are impacted and live lives that may have dints. Don't try to hide the dints. The dints make us who we are. And sometimes it's nice for others to hear that in the midst of our dints, God can still love us. If you're wondering this morning whether you've got dints, don't worry, I've got some. Plenty, in fact. I didn't want to waste a can of Coke, but it's the same concept, right? There would not be one part of me that doesn't have a dint because of the world and the life that I've lived around me. God still loves me, working with me to shape me into who He wants me to be. Does that mean that I just live a measured life? A controlled life, one drip at a time? Or do I allow God to fill my life so that I live in the overflow, that others around me get wet because of an encounter with the living water that I have within me and you have within you. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith in all that you do. Encounters at the grocery store, at the shopping centre, in the car park at the shopping centre. That's where my grace gets tested. Maybe we feel all bound up, and we're going to sing a song in a minute, a marvellous hymn that's been refashioned to a new tune. But in one of the lines of this song, it says, "My chains fell off, I've been set free." Maybe, just maybe, we struggle to share with others around us because of the expectations that everyone else has for us. What if? There's a photo just before we sing that it's going to come up on this screen. The expectations of others were the bars that I used for my own cage. When you sing the words this morning, "My chains fell off," let's allow the expectations of others to fall as well. We don't need to use them to pin us in and imprison us any longer. Let's sing these words together.